This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 36, Round Chunky Faces, Baldness and Blemishes, for January 27, 2008. Let's get into it now. Hey there, shutterbugs, camera enthusiasts, and photo lovers, and welcome to the 36th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we are coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we are partially going to cover a suggestion made by Tegan on our bulletin board, and he had quite a long question and podcast that he wanted me to do, and ultimately, I think I'm going to have to break it down. It's just too overwhelming to do in one podcast. It's probably too overwhelming for 10 podcasts, but I'd like to cover a little bit of it today. So basically, Tegan wanted to know about, you know, advanced techniques. And I'm actually going to read his question now. I would suggest an advanced podcast on portraiture dealing with maximizing positive features and minimizing the not so good ones. Pre-shooting approaches such as makeup with minor changes to hairstyle through lighting and post-processing to deal with problems such as a round face, prominent nose, weak drooping eye, double chin, chin jutting out, mole, age marks, scar, long neck, long thin face, high forehead, balding, wrinkles, blemishes, zits, cold sores, etc. Other characteristics that are also challenging is getting detail from black hair, keeping detail in very light blonde hair, getting the red and veins out of the eyes, brightening very dark colored eyes, getting the color right in very pale to very dark skin, etc. And then picking appropriate clothes and colors to match the face and look of the model. So as you can see, this is a really in-depth question, and it's probably more suitable to like a 10-week course at a photography school rather than a podcast, because this podcast would be like 4 or 5 hours long. So what I thought I'd like to do today is maybe just cover some of the philosophy around thinking about how to shoot certain people with a couple of quick tips and pointers to help solve some of Tegan's question. And then I'm going to do individual podcasts upcoming that are going to cover a lot of these issues anyway. And I hope that's suitable, Tegan. But before we actually get into the podcast, as always, I'd like to thank both Yves Jantz and Michael for their comments on our last podcast where we talked about accessories. Yves Jantz mentioned that there is a P-lamp, which is a clamp that is used to hold macro subjects or really small subjects, and you can photograph using this. It's kind of an articulating arm again. And I actually have one. It's made of plastic. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I cover Yves' suggestion at perhaps the very next podcast, a little bit about macro photography. Michael provided a very nice link for a clamp that you could make just from the hardware store that costs just about $1 or $2. And that clamp can do very similar things to the $20 or $30 clamps we were talking about last time. And I totally see the validity there, especially if you're on a budget. For me personally, if you can really afford to spend the extra little bit of money, I think the clamps that I talked about are a little more versatile. But I totally appreciate the suggestion on how to make cheaper clamps and cheaper devices, you know, if you are on a tight budget, of course. As always, love to get comments, and of course you can do so through the blog, photography.ca/blog. You can do so through the forums, photography.ca, just make your way to the forums. And of course, as always, just send me an email, photography.ca@gmail.com. Subscribing is a great way to get these podcasts every time we put them out, and you can do so by downloading iTunes. It's free, and you can then just click the button on the front page of our blog that says subscribe in iTunes, and you are set. This week's podcast is going to be a little bit lengthy, so we're going to skip photo of the week this time, and we're going to continue it next time. So now on to today's show, and I guess there's going to be some really basic stuff that I'm going to talk about today, but maybe it's stuff that most people don't think about enough, and, you know, even seasoned veterans may not think about this enough. When you want to minimize certain features that people have, whatever that feature is, you really have to think about the light and the position relative to your camera. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the light. Without light, you can't see anyone, and you can't see any of their, in quotations, defects or their less flattering aspects. You need light to see anything. So by manipulating the light, it's totally possible. And one of the most common questions, portrait photographers get is going to be, how do I minimize the look of a round, fat, or chubby face? And if you just take a moment to think about it, the answer is not that difficult. Even a heavyset person, you can't see them in the dark, right? You have to light them. So let's say you have a person with a really round or a really chubby face. If you light them using side light, so that the light is coming directly from the side, what's going to happen is one side of their face is going to be in light and the other side of their face is going to be in shadow. So side lighting is a great way to reduce the appearance of a very heavyset face, because you're not going to see the full face, because half of it is going to be in shadow. If half of the face is going to be in shadow, it's going to have a slimming effect. So side lighting is a great way to make heavier looking people seem less heavy or to slim down their faces. Another classic technique is called short lighting. And I don't want to get too much into it because I'm going to do a podcast on short lighting.
But let's talk about it for a quick bit anyway.
So short lighting. Let's say someone is looking directly at the camera, and then they turn their face to the left so that 3/4 of their face is showing. Now, if you light their face from that side, then you're going to have 3/4 of their face being lit if you light them from that side. However, if you light them from the other side, far less of their face, which is facing the camera, is going to receive light. If less of their face is receiving light, it's going to look thinner because it's not all lit up. And on the opposite side, you have broad lighting. So let's say they have a really, really thin face. They're a fashionista, a fashion model, and they have an ultra thin face, and you think it's too thin and you want to make their face appear a little bit wider using the exact same technique. Let's say they turn to the left, but this time you light them on the same side so that all that face is getting light. That's going to make that face look a little bit larger. So those are just two techniques, both side lighting and short lighting, that are going to make a heavier face look thinner. And now very quickly, we could talk about other blemishes. Let's say, you have some scars or pockmarks on one side of the face. Well, if the goal is to minimize those, it only makes sense to maybe have the side of the face that's more blemished not facing the camera. Duh. But yeah, I mean, that's what people have been doing for a really long time, you know? You just have to think about how to do it. That's half the battle. You have to look and analyze the face. Think about it from the model's point of view. You know, what is the shoot about? If the shoot is about to flatter the model, you know, sometimes it's an editorial shoot or some other type of shoot. But if the model has hired you, if it's a wedding or it's a portrait session for an event or anything like that, where the model wants to look the best he or she can, then it's up to you to study their face and logically think, what can you do to minimize the blemishes or the less attractive aspects of their faces. Very few of us have these perfect faces, and even models at the top of their game have blemishes and problem skin and oily skin and things like that. Now they have a whole team of people to take care of that for them, from hair and makeup to post-processing. They'll have special retouchers that after the photographer has shot, they'll spend hours like turning that image into the ultimate image. And you know, it's not a real representation, but the model at the end of the day is going to be happy. You yourself, working by yourself, or maybe you have someone to help you, an assistant, you want to try and do the exact same thing, but you won't have the team. So you just need to think about the details that you want to minimize. So let's say, again, you have blemishes, and, you know, let's say the blemishes are all over the face. Well, knowing about light, you know that hard light, so hard, undiffused light, let's say from a direct flash, is going to be far less flattering to that person's skin than softer light. And that's either shot through a softbox or bounced into an umbrella. So softer light in general are going to make those type of blemishes show up even less than harsh light. Similarly, if those blemishes, you know, have raised marks on the face and you're shooting more of a side light, well, side light tends to create strong shadows. But frontal light creates less strong shadows. In fact, if it's direct front light and it's at the same position as your camera, you're not going to notice any shadows at all if it's done right. So maybe that type of flat lighting, if it's really a face that has many, many blemishes, that type of lighting might work best as well. It'll definitely work better than side lighting,
which will create shadows and reveal the texture of the skin and blemishes much more than frontal lighting.
Obviously, these days, if it's just one small blemish or two small blemishes, you know, you can obviously redo it in Photoshop or another graphics program. You know, just clone it out, use the healing tool, use the clone tool, and you can easily get rid of it that way. But as always, if you're trying to, in quotation marks, correct the imperfect face, the more you correct it with lighting position and camera angle, the less work you'll have to do in Photoshop.
And the camera angle is crucial. Take bald guys, for instance.
We've talked about baldness in previous podcasts, and I suffer from the disease myself. I don't care about it at all, so it doesn't matter to me if I look more bald or less bald. Bald is beautiful for me, I guess. But for someone who is more conscious about their lack of hair, obviously, if you get up on a chair and you're shooting them from a high angle, you're going to notice more of their baldness than if you're shooting them straight on or shooting them from a slightly lower angle. It just makes sense. Someone that has a really, really, really large double chin, obviously that double chin is going to look more prominent if you're shooting at it from a lower angle. You know, if you're shooting up into it, you know, it's going to be an all turkey looking scene. You know, you're going to see the waggle under the chin. But if you raise your angle a little bit relative to the model, then that raised angle is going to help minimize that double chin. So it's really just thinking about, you know, what that, in quotation mark, imperfection is and how to go about solving it using both the angle of the camera and the lighting technique. And like I mentioned, as I get into different lighting techniques, we'll talk about the advantages and different advantages of each technique and how it can help or hinder different facial types. So as a quick recap, broad lighting is really good for thin faces and short lighting is really good for heavy set or round faces. So I hope that information was of use both to Tegan and other listeners. And again, it's just really taking the time beforehand to think, what type of face does this person have and how can I make them look their best? The two approaches that I just spoke about are in-studio approaches where you have, let's say, full control over the light. But again, using reflectors or gobos, which go between the light source and the model, you know, you can also achieve very similar effects outdoors using natural light. You have more control with artificial light because you can control every aspect of it. And, you know, with enough money, you can control even, you know, the outdoor light as well. But in general, there's a fair amount of control you can also do with natural light if you just take the time to realize that you can indeed place the model's face in shadow when you want to hide certain things, and you can place their face in the light when you want to accentuate certain aspects of their face or body, for instance. Again, if someone is really heavy set and they're looking straight at the camera, they are going to appear larger than if they turn to their side because more of their body will be showing. And that's going to do it for today's podcast. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. As always, suggestions on future podcasts are very much appreciated. And until the next time, keep on shooting. Bye for now.